You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates edition. We're going to be joined, as always, by Tom Singer, Pirates beat writer, and as I always like to say, Pittsburgh native. They're covering the Pirates all season, and in that unfortunate wild card game against the San Francisco Giants, too much Madison Bumgarner. I'm not sure how many teams could have done much with Bumgarner that night. Tom, just how tough was he on the Pirates in that wild card game?
Well, he was at his absolute best. Everybody had to give him total credit from the very beginning, from the first pitch to the last, which is coincidentally exactly what Neil Walker said. He was throwing the ball, putting it wherever he wanted. It didn't make any mistakes at all. So obviously, the story of the game wasn't who started for the Pirates or what the lineup was. It really would not have made any difference. It was Bumgarner's night. And unfortunately, it was one-sided. He's had some postseason success already, considerable in the past. And he brought his best game. And he thought that even before the game began and followed through on it.
You referenced who the starting pitcher was, which is obviously Edson Volquez, as the Pirates kind of played it out to the end, trying to run down the Cardinals in the division and couldn't do it. Just how disappointing was that for the Pirates? I know it's awesome for them to be back in the playoffs 2 years in a row, but they wanted more than that wild card this time.
Well, it was disappointing, but once again, not so much because of the outcome, although obviously after 162, that will be a huge letdown. But, they regretted not playing their best game. It was all around probably the poorest game they had played in a couple of months. It was just the wrong time for that. You kind of heard the old cliche after the game, 20 teams had to go home after the last game. And the Pirates have to go home after the 163rd game. So, it was disappointing, but, the way it developed, it was kind of painless in the sense that it wasn't a tough loss, just a bad one.
Yeah, and it seems like the Saturday and Sunday in Cincinnati, Liriano, Gerrit Cole lined up to go. They could have, forced that playoff with the Cardinals had they done something different in those games. Tom, I know it's a talking point, it's an old point now, but had they backed off of Gerrit Cole in that game one in the last game of the regular season and saved him for the wild card, what kind of message does that send if they just handed the division to the Cardinals after pushing for it, as hard as they did all season?
Well, there's, 2 points on that. One, the outcome itself of the wild card game proved the benefit of trying for the division. I mean, obviously, it puts you in a lot better position, not only because it gives you 4 days of rest, but if you get totally dominated by an ace in game one, you got 4 more shots. So in a sense, it validated as long a shot as it was in going for it. And the other point is, a lot of people, like I said, it's a talking point, fans as well as media, try to get back to that whole scenario once the wild card game was over. To me, that's a very futile attempt at hindsight, because as I said, it didn't matter who started for the Pirates because of who started for the Giants. It would not have made any difference at all. But it's a good talking point. It's about a talking point. It was an extreme long shot, not just because of where they were, but what it came down to is they needed it on the last day, both for Johnny Cueto, whom they faced, and for Adam Wainwright, who, as it turned out, did not pitch for the Cardinals because they didn't need it. They needed both to lose in the same day, and that just wasn't really likely. But like Clint Hurdle said, with the tradition of this team, they kind of dropped the names of Clemente and Stargell and all the others. He owed it to the franchise to go for the division while any hope remained.
Looking at the Pirates as a whole this year, it seemed like one difference between them in 2014 from 2013
2013, Andrew McCutchen wins the MVP. 2014, he puts up the same basic numbers, and he's, you could get a real debate about the team MVP with McCutchen at one point, even saying Josh Harrison should have been it. And that last weekend of the season, Harrison finishes with a .315 batting average, McCutchen .314, and the batting title goes to their former teammate, Justin Morneau of the Colorado Rockies, who basically sat out Saturday and Sunday to protect a .319 average. And just wondering what the reaction was among the Pirates when they saw that the Rockies were sitting Morneau on that batting title and not really having him earn it the last couple days.
None whatsoever. The subject did come up, but everybody was focused on the games. They had to play number one. And number two, Josh Harrison said all along, and I believe him, he really had no idea of where he sat in the batting race because he was so focused on the team-first attitude. You have to know Josh to realize that he was being sincere. And specifically on Morneau, he said, I couldn't care less because, I'm only focused on what I can control and how I can help this team win. You know, the PS on Morneau's season, way back when it was obvious the Pirates were not going to re-sign him, I did kind of throw it out there that when the Rockies signed him, that he will make the Pirates look bad for not re-signing him because of the numbers he can put up in Coors Field. And sure enough, I mean, I think that definitely helped him in the batting race. Some seven different Rockies have won batting titles, even though they've only been around for 20-some years. In hindsight, regardless of what he would have done with the Pirates, they could have signed him because first base was the one consistent hole in the lineup. Good for him. I know Hurdle was happy for him, not because he's a former player, even if only for a month, but he still has a little bit of Colorado blood in him, so he's happy when it. Anyway, the Rockies do well. But other than that, just to answer directly your question, it was never an issue at all, him sitting out the last two games.
Yeah. Spinning it ahead now, looking at the offseason decisions that face the Pirates and their look heading into the hot stove season, I can't think of anything bigger for them than Russell Martin heading into free agency. We didn't mention him when we were talking about the MVP guys, but if you look at the Pirates in 13 and 14, I think anybody that's paid any attention, it's clear what a key guy Russell Martin has been behind the plate. And just how do you handicap his free agency? How difficult will he be for the Pirates to keep? I know they would love to keep him, but I think he's going to be attracted to a lot of other teams.
Yeah, he'll be impossible to keep, bottom line. He did enhance his value tremendously, which, he was being very frank. That was one of his objectives when he came to the Pirates and insisted only a two-year deal. He received offers, longer-term offers, obviously different configuration for 3 and 4 years, but he wanted a two-year deal to give himself a chance to reestablish his market value, which tells you right there that he's not going to re-sign with the Pirates because he could have accepted a longer term from them from the beginning. It's a bad situation for Pirates. They don't really have a contingency plan in mind. They're going to have to scramble to replace him, and probably because there isn't any other viable alternative on the free agent market, which also enhances Martin's value tremendously. Neil Huntington obviously saying that they will do everything they can to retain him. They absolutely recognize his value. But they also recognize the market difficulties that they face. The fans' perspective, it's a very touchy situation because they set an all-time franchise attendance record, and they pretty much have equated that with the mandate that you have to use that revenue to re-sign Martin. But what that overlooks, PNC Park's limited capacity, even with an all-time attendance record, they only rank ninth in the National League in attendance. And when you translate that to revenue flow, they just will not be able to compete financially with the offer the Martin will get from other teams.
What how about the situation with Francisco Liriano? What going forward with him? How do you forecast that?
Well, oddly enough, there's a better chance for him to resign because based on his season, it wasn't up to what he did last season, so his market value in a sense diminished from what it would have been after 2013. I think he enjoyed his success with the Pirates and with the pitching coach Ray Searidge. I think he'll be easier to retain than the other key pitching free agent, Edinson Volquez, who will be looking for a multi-year deal. Not that he couldn't get, let's say, a two-year respectable offer from the Pirates, but I think there'll be considerable interest on the market in him as well. If Liriano re-signs with the Pirates, depending on when he does it, that would actually be an incentive for Volquez to perhaps take a lesser offer from the Pirates than he might hear from other teams, because they are very close friends. And Liriano's success with Searidge had a lot to do with Volquez deciding to sign here. But once again, he did so because he felt that the Pirates could fix him, quote-unquote. Now that they fixed him, he might have put himself in a position to get a better offer elsewhere. The situation is very similar to what it was with A.J. Burnett, who signed a huge deal with the Phillies after being fixed by the Pirates, and even the actor, the Marlon Byrd, who was playing on a made good contract, only 1 month of it with the Pirates, and he got a huge deal from the Phillies because of what he did last season.
When Gerrit Cole came to the big leagues in 2013, he was just kind of the tip of the iceberg of a farm system deep with pitching prospects. I know the Jameson Taillon injury was a big blow. Looking at it now, where is Taillon in his rehab situation? And do they have guys that could come up, pitchers that could come up and be impactful in 2015, Tom?
Well, Taillon is right on schedule with his rehab from Tommy John surgery, but he did not have that till early April. So I would say about May, June, he'll be able to resume throwing. So that makes him a very late-season possibility. Gerrit Cole, obviously, will be the undoubted ace of the number one next season. But the only two starters who they have for sure are Jeff Locke and Vance Worley, both of whom were only mid-season call-ups this season. Did a good job, so they're definitely in the key picks of the rotation. Brandon Compton, who's made several spot starts the last couple of seasons, I think has a very high ceiling, so he's got a very good shot at landing a rotation spot out of spring training. But other than that, all of the top prospects, like Glasnow and Kingham, they're a couple of years away. None of them pitched in AAA last season, and the Pirates are adamant about not having anybody skip any runs in the minor leagues. So the rotation is extremely vague, obviously more so if neither Volquez or Liriano are re-signed. And, of course, we're forgetting about Charlie Morton, who had sports hernia surgery a couple of weeks ago. He's not going to be ready at the start of the season either.
Yeah, well, you still have to like the lineup that they will run out there, the core that they have built, and certainly given themselves a lot of terrific experience in 2013 and 14 that will hopefully pay off in 2015. And so this will wrap it up. Tom, thanks very much for being with us today. This is Phil Rogers. This has been MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates Edition.
The most popular way to follow every pitch of the postseason is with MLB.com At-Bat, the number one mobile app for live baseball. At-Bat brings you live postseason baseball wherever you are with dynamic features such as live radio broadcasts, replay reviews, scoreboards, highlights, stats, series schedules, and more. Get the award-winning MLB.com At-Bat app for your favorite smartphone or tablet. Visit the App Store or MLB.com today.